Hi, I'm Olivia Bradley, and I'm looking forward to launching my debut album at Irish Fest Atlanta this November. And you are listening to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast.
Show number 630. Welcome to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, helping you celebrate Celtic culture through music. I am Mark Gunn. I am a Celtic musician and podcaster, and this podcast is here to build our diverse Celtic community and help the incredible artists who so generously share their music with you. Musicians rely on your support to keep them making music. That means buying merch or tipping them or whatever. But if you do hear music you love, you can also email the artists to let them know you heard them on the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast. You can find a link to all the artists in the show notes along with showtimes when you visit our website at CelticMusicPodcast.com. Olivia Bradley introduced the episode. She's going to be at Irish Fest Atlanta the first weekend of November with new music. And we kicked off the show with the Border Collies. They too will be at Irish Fest Atlanta. That was The Sweetness of Mary. It's from a single that they have available over on Reverb Nation. There's going to be a lot of great music at Irish Fest Atlanta, November 3rd through 5th in Roswell, Georgia. And I'm excited to share a story from Ashley Davis. The Ashley Davis Band will be performing at Irish Fest Atlanta, along with Dervish and many, many more bands that I will be featuring all month long. If you're in a Celtic band and you want to submit music to the podcast, just complete the permission form at 4celts.com. And make sure you check out Miranda Nelson's Celtic T-shirt store. It is now live. You can buy a variety of fun Irish and Celtic inspired shirt designs in her store. Next up is the Kelly Girls with Miss Martha, Barney's Shenanigans, and Barney Get Home from their album, May You Always.
Be strong. be today. Don't find a stranger for the seeds are sown. When you hear me playing somewhere down the road. Well, I am your music. I am your soul.
Bonnie May, a shepherdin's gone to call a sheep to the fold. And as she sang, her bonny voice it rang over the tops of the downs, right over the tops of the down. There came a troop of gentlemen, and they came riding by, and one of them was lighted down. He's asked of her the way, the way. He's asked of her the way. He's taken her by the lily white hand and by the green gown sleeve, and then he's had his way with her. He's asked of her no leave, no leave. He's asked of her no bonny summer's day. She walks out alone to herself, saying, troop of gentlemen came riding over the downs came riding over the downs. He's mounted off his berry brown steed. He set the fair maid on. Go call out the sheep father yourself. She'll never call them again. For he's the lord of 20 plough of land, 20 plough and three, and he's taken away the bonniest lass in all the south country, country, in all the south country.
After the Kelly Girls came Matt McGinn, not to be confused with Matt McGinn, the Scottish songwriter from the 60s. This is a gentleman from Northern Ireland who has a new album called Behind Every Door. He's out of County Down, Northern Ireland. After Matt McGinn came Seldom Sober with Hornpipes, Across the Fence, Handcuffs, and Harvest Home from 6 months in Confession. And we finished that off with Bonnie May by Pochine from their album One for the Road. I want your feedback. What are you doing today while listening to the podcast? You can send a written comment along with a picture of what you're doing while listening. Email, voicemail message at CelticPodcast@gmail.com. You can also message me on Facebook. Christina Mari replied to the Celtic Music Magazine podcast feedback request. Hi, Mark. I love your podcast and have been listening to it for a while. It's very versatile, useful for running, cleaning, cooking, organizing teacher resources, and writing report cards. I'm a kindergarten teacher. I will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day by playing the harp and listening to more inspiring tunes, a la the Irish and Celtic Music podcast. Thanks for sharing. Go Rama Agat. Thank you so much, Christina, for sharing. I hope all is well with your kindergarten teaching this fall. Dennis O'Brien replied, I listened while working and planning my Dungeons & Dragons game this week. On St. Patrick's Day, I'm cooking a meal for my wife's family, a tradition since we first started dating. We will also listen to the Dropkick Murphys concert from past years, if they don't have one live on YouTube. We will be singing along. My wife's Irish-born grandmother can't make it this year, but we will be making a phone call to far-off Minnesota. Fantastic. I hope you had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. And finally, Stacia Offfield replied, we'll probably be doing school while listening. My kids like Irish and Celtic music as much as me. I am hoping to go to a nearby town's St. Patrick's Day parade. The town's name is Ireland, so they kind of blow it up. We'll probably continue to listen to music, and I might tell some stories. That sounds like a lot of fun. I hope you had a great time. I sat down and had a wonderful interview with Ashley Davis of the Ashley Davis Band. She, of course, will be performing at Irish Fest Atlanta in November. And I am super excited to share this interview with you. We talk about how she got started in Celtic music. It's not a typical story. Plus, about some of her time on the Isle of Man and some of the incredible performers on her new album, When the Stars Are Out. Here is Ashley Davis. Welcome, Ashley Davis, to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. It's great to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I am excited to have you on the show. First off, Ashley is performing at the Irish Fest Atlanta, first weekend of November, right?
That's right. And you're playing the first night on Friday night.
And you have a band playing with you.
Yep. The Ashley Davis Band will be there.
Fantastic. And I want to get a little bit of sense about where you come from with Celtic music. I was looking at your bio and trying to understand dig deeper. And I was like, I see something interesting here. I see that, you are a songwriter. You've traveled quite a bit. You had a residency lived on the Isle of Man for a while. And now you have a new album with a whole bunch of incredible guests on it. And why don't we take us back a little bit and tell the audience about, who you are and where you come from.
Well, I was born on the plains of Kansas and to a family with no Irish music background, but a heavy music background, folk music, bluegrass, old time, kind of anything, Motown, whatever. It was all played in the house, everything except Irish music, ironically. American music, yeah. We had a lot of American music going. And my mom was an arts presenter for the University of Kansas. She booked all of the music and productions that came through the university here in Lawrence, Kansas. And so I was exposed to everything, from modern dance to Philip Glass to whatever. And I was always a sponge as a kid. And so when I was 18, I moved to Nashville thinking I was going to enter the country music scene there. And when I began actually writing my own music, it became clear from the response of people to not only the way I phrased things, the way I sang things, but also really the direction my writing took naturally, that I belonged in a different bin, to use an old term, and that it was the Celtic music bin. And so I started to actually go to used record stores and go to the world music section, and this is when I'm 18, and pull out every female that I could to try and sort of study them and see whether this did match up with my dreams and my writing and did I like it. And so I was pulling out people like Moya Brennan and Lorena McKennitt, who used, literature quite a bit in her writing, and really taking a look and going, oh yeah, I really do like this. I not only like the music, I like the depth of it, and I like the way that it transcends, transcends me to somewhere. And I'm thinking as an 18-year-old, I think my imagination can do that. I think I can do that for other people. So really my career starts from my writing, which is what, 20 years later, whatever I end up being really known for more is the writing. And in this genre, that's strange, right? Because it's always about taking the old songs and making them something new in your own or your band's or whatever. And we do that with, occasionally, but 95% of what is on the album is something that I've written or co-written with somebody. Because when I then left Nashville, I moved to Limerick and I did my master's I went backwards. I did a Shannos master's, so I did it all in Gaelic. And I realized that in order to continue to be a better writer, I had to really understand the root of where it came from. And I loved the Irish language. So I really dove in my mid-20s into all of that material and did a lot of field recordings and went around Ireland, a little bit around Scotland, and got even more of a basis. And then I took a weird turn because I needed a job and I became the lead singer for Lord of the Dance.
Oh, wow.
So I leave Ireland after a couple of years with a master's in Shannos, and I moved to Vegas, where I go out each night and sing three songs for that show. And that lasted a year. And then I moved to New York, and that's when I really started to get to put out my own stuff. I think my first album came out in 04, and I think I'm working on my 10th right now.
So. And your first album was all, was mostly traditional, is that correct?
That's the second one. The first one's kind of, yeah, this first one is sort of me finally getting to write again, because I really wasn't getting to write when I was doing the Shanos thing. And so, so that year I was in Lord of the Dance, I was taking all of this stuff and writing new material. And so the first one is kind of the direction I end up going a bit more. And it's got, you know, a lot of world music elements on it. Then the second one, Down by the Sea, is my, definitely my most traditional. I go back to Ireland and record that one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do find it fascinating. You know, cause in the Celtic music, as you said, in the Celtic music world, the songwriters are not, you know, my podcast is mostly songwriters, you know, I don't do as much of the traditional songs. A little bit more of the traditional tunes, but it's more of the songwriters, you know, the modern Celtic songwriters, which is not a thing that I think is typically, I guess, highlighted, I feel like, at most festivals, which I, so when I saw your, that you were a songwriter, it really, really kind of struck me.
Yeah, it's something I've really been trying to advocate for at festivals and saying, you know, like we always have all these workshops at festivals, right? And I always try and say, can I please teach a songwriting class for people? And some, like at the, at, I almost said the University of Michigan, at the Michigan Muskegon Festival, for a few years, I did an in the round, like, you know, say the Bluebird, where I would invite other artists who were at the festival who write music to come up and I would interview them like you are me, and they would play a song and then move on to the next writer in the round. And that was really cool. And that was the first festival to do that. And I'm hoping I can get that to catch on a little bit more so that fans really do understand where a lot of this music is coming from and hearing the background of the story. The Grammys have an educational wing, and for about four summers in a row, I was going around the country and teaching their world music to all the Grammy camps. And that was really interesting because I would be there with, let's say, a rapper or a hip hop artist or a pop writer. And the kids were just blown away that I actually used a pen and paper still while these guys are writing on their iPhones, you know? So it's a really cool world that I hope people start to understand more that, like, we will, if we don't have people who are generating new music, we're going to be hearing the same music a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, let's get a taste of your music and your songwriting in particular. Can you tell me a track that you want to introduce for this podcast?
I think I'd like to talk about a song that came off of an album that is part of a collection of albums that I have been building over the past decade. I have these winter albums that I titled Songs of the Celtic Winter. And this past winter, I put out the second one, so Songs of the Celtic Winter 2. And I created these albums because I wanted to create secular seasonal albums. And the reason I wanted to do this was because I lived in New York for a decade, and everywhere I went from mid-December to the end of December, you're just bombarded with Christmas music. And I was always standing in line with people who clearly weren't into Christmas. And so I thought, you know, there should be just kind of beautiful secular seasonal music that we could all enjoy. And that was sort of the impetus of it 10 years ago. And then I just really enjoyed writing around the theme of winter and its meaning. And so when I was writing this one a year ago, the war in Ukraine broke out that February. And I was reading the New York Times, and there was this piece called Into Emptiness. And it was written by two journalists, an American journalist and an Eastern European journalist. And they were talking to women at the train stop, saying goodbye to their husbands or boyfriends and with their children. And it was just this incredibly moving piece because they didn't know as they got on the train and left them whether they would ever see them again. And just the descriptions of watching them fade away. And it was just, I thought, I have to write around this. And it took me about a year because it was a very emotional theme and I wanted to get it right in a very poignant way. So I finished it and I titled it Into Emptiness, and I actually sent it to the New York Times writer. And I amazingly got a response right away about how much he loved it. And he sent it to his partner, his interpreter, and she sent me a beautiful note. And they said, you absolutely nailed the way that it felt talking to these people. And so that was a really cool story for me about working with somebody else's writing and trying to make it something that people could feel through music. So Into Emptiness.
The winter's here and you are staying. Well, I am going from you. The war is calling, homes are falling, falling into the night. I am going while you are holding my
We're back, and one of the things that also you mentioned, I think I saw in your bio, was that you spent some time on the Isle of Man, and next year I'm going doing a Celtic invasion of the Isle of Man, and we're going to explore the island, get to know it, and I would personally, I want to find out, first off, why you ended up there, and second of all, I'd like to find out, some cool things to see and do while you were there.
It's almost like the one I talked about, the New York Times. If I see something really interesting, I tend to reach out to someone, even if I know I might not even get a response. And there was this album that I found in the library at the University of Limerick when I was a grad student there. And it was just sort of buried, and it was by this woman named Emma Christian. And it was all songs in Manx with her playing the harp. And the songs were so beautiful, and the modes were all in this very kind of dark minor keys. And I really became fascinated with this branch of the Gaelic language of Manx, and talked to a lot of my Irish speaking friends about the language itself. And then I ended up reaching out to the woman who was the government head, I'm not sure of her title, who runs basically the traditional music wing of the government, sort of protects it and helps keep, the music alive and in the schools and the kids learning the songs. And I said, I would love to come I would love to come over and do a visit and an immersion and do some workshops with your people, but also be able to sit and do some field recordings. And amazingly, she said yes, and they had a little budget, you know, for me to come over and do it. And I stayed in her house and traveled around, and I actually met Emma Christian and got to record her in a church, did some field recordings with her, and I did a workshop on songwriting with all the locals, which was really fun. And then I, at the very end of it, I did a small concert in Douglas, which is their main port town that you'll take your boat into when you go there, most likely. It's a much smaller island than you think. So I remember getting there the first night, and they said, we're going to go to Peel, which is on the western side of the island. And I thought, oh man, I have just, you know, flown over. I'm so jet lagged. I don't know if I can make a session, like, and driving all the way across the island. You know, I'm thinking like Dublin to Galway, right? And they're like, it's just 12 miles. I'm like, okay, I can handle 15 minutes in a car over to a session. So that's like one of the things that's striking is, you know, how, small it is. There's a wonderful, railroad that runs from Douglas down to the southern point. So there's Little Mononon and then there's Big Mononon that are the big hills at the top and the bottom that they say guard the island. Mononon is the god of the island. And they say that when the Viking invaders would come, he would swoop his big cloak around the island so that they couldn't see it. So they'd pass it and they'd go to Ireland instead. And so that's how he is their god that you'll see a lot over there. So, that song, the Mononon song, which I believe we're going to play here, is that whole idea of that, you know, there's the king and Mononon is the king. So Henri is the king that you'll hear in that.
Is there anything in particular in the Isle of Man that, you know, something small that you didn't, you know, that was just stood out, that was really interesting location-wise? I'm reaching to try and find some, you know, really cool, extra cool things to see.
If, I can't, you know, it's 2006, so I'm reaching back. Yeah. I think that the one thing that I will tell you about it is that there's a very different vibration on that island. It when you land on it, it, you feel something different. And you know, they are isolated and remember the Bee Gees are from the Isle of Man. So they do produce some excellent music coming out of there. I just think that you can see how beautiful that the people are so incredibly friendly, and they're so happy that people want to come and learn about their culture, and they are absolutely approachable to talk with and to understand and see, you know, what's happening now in the island and what has happened, and their whole government system is quite interesting too. So dig into that. But I would say Barul is, the name of there's North Barul and then Southern Barul. That's where, you know, Mononon is watching over from. Being sure to see those, you can take the train. That's what I would say is the most beautiful thing to do. It's like an open cart train, you know, that you can just hop on and take that from Douglas down to South Barul, and it's a beautiful trip. And then you get to just look over everything. I would say that's awesome. The highlight.
All right. Well, let's play what's the name of the song again? Mononon song.
The Mononon song.
From Down by the Sea.
Great Henry, turn chief of Flawness, Irish Shaheen, to small lock for all. Great Henry, turn chief of Flawness, Irish Shaheen, to small lock for all. Soy for hay, her mo lock for
So Ashley, one of the things again that struck me really fascinatingly was that you, it feels like that much like me, I was not raised on Celtic music, but is the fact that you seem like a bit of an outsider in the traditional Irish music world. So how does that feel, and how have you felt like you've incorporated yourself a little bit more, ingratiated yourself? I see that you're like reaching out to people, which I think is just brilliant and amazing that you do that, and seeking these immersion experiences. Is there anything else? Can you tell me a little bit more?
At first, when I was, you know, say a Kansas kid moving to Ireland and doing a Shanos Masters, yeah, you really feel like a fish out of water. But at the same time, it felt kind of great to be really different, right? And I've never had an issue with that. And then what I really realized as I grew older and I was producing with my producer, Gowan Matthews, and creating these albums, that because I don't come from a traditional pedigree, I don't have any limitations around me. So I didn't have to follow any rules. So I could, you know, a lot of those artists who are brought up within that tradition, they have a heavy mantle on their back, yeah, to continue it, right? And I don't have that. And so all these influences that I grew up with, I could just throw it in. And it became just like, oh, Ashley's doing something weird again. She's doing an electronic album this year, you know? And it was just like that was cool to be different that way. And I've really enjoyed having no frontiers, you know, for a Kansas kid, that's a good feeling. And, so I would say that was my experience. Was at first I sort of felt like, oh man, I don't think I'm ever going to be accepted. And then to go, wait, why don't I just create my own path, you know? And let's see who within this tradition likes what I'm doing. And those are going to be the people who end up working with me. And it works really well when you find those people who are influenced by other things besides tradition, or, you know, grew up around it, but say weren't heavily, you know, into trad so much that they feel like all, you know, that's all they can do is push straight ahead with trad. So, and that's how I end up with the band members that I end up with. Coming with me to Atlanta is the original four of us who created the Ashley Davis Band. And that's Dave Curley, Colin Farrell, and Will McMorrin. And during COVID, when we began to create When the Stars Went Out, that was the first band album that we did together. It was really fun because we had to do it all remotely and send all these tracks around. And I was always pushing everybody to write. I said at the very beginning of that project, I want to co-write a track with all of you, all four of you, or three of you. And they said, okay. And so Colin sent me this really beautiful, he's not a songwriter, but he's a massive tune writer. And he sent me this really beautiful fiddle waltz. And I thought, okay, that's great. And he's like, you know, I don't play guitar, so I'm not going to be able to like sit down and move that into some kind of a song melody for you. And I said, no, that's okay. So I sat down with the guitar and I took it and kind of retweaked it a little bit to become a song melody. And then I wrote the lyrics to it. And then I went to Dave Curley and I said, hey, I really think this is a duet by the way that I wrote it. And I wrote it from the standpoint of, I don't know, you know, sometimes I'll read a line in a book or something said a certain way around me. And the line, when he loved her too, really struck me because it's like, this woman still loves this person, you know, but he doesn't anymore. But at one time he did, right? And so it's sort of this reminiscence of that, the song. And so Dave and I do it as a duet, but then Colin, you can hear his original fiddle waltz, that moves from the beginning and then in the middle and then at the end. And it's one of my favorites that we will definitely play on that Friday night in Atlanta.
And so Irish Fest Atlanta, it's again happening the first weekend of November. What is that? Well, you'll be there on the 3rd.
We play on the night of the 3rd. Yeah. And then we're also teaching workshops all day on that Saturdays. So check that out.
Yeah, definitely. We will, hopefully some of the people will go over to the festival website and check that out. Last thing, can you tell me, where people can find you online and get your music and all that good stuff?
Yeah. If they go to ashleydavisband.com, you'll find a lot of interesting stuff there. Everything from some news to music and, you know, history and that sort of thing.
And the final track we're going to play is When He Loved Her Too from your album When the Stars Went Out, the Ashley Davis Band with Dave Curley. Thank you so much, Ashley. I really appreciate you spending some time with me and my audience. And I hope that everyone enjoyed this. And if you did, make sure you go over to what's your, again, AshleyDavisBand.com?
Ashley Davis Band. Yeah, AshleyDavisBand.com. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And here is When He Loved Her Too. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ashley Davis. I'm so excited to hear her in November. Go to ashleydavisband.com for more details. And thank you, patrons of the podcast, because of your kind and generous support. This show comes out 4 times a month. Your generosity funds the creation, promotion, and production of the show. It allows us to attract new listeners and to help our community grow. As a patron, you get music-only episodes before regular listeners. You get to vote in the Celtic Top 20, and you get a private feed to listen to the show. All that for as little as $1 per episode. Plus, you get Celtic stories, some one-off experiences, including one from Ashley Davis. They'll be coming out soon. A bonus story. So go make sure you head on over to Patreon and sign up so you can enjoy those stories. A special thanks to our Celtic legends, Bill Mandeville, Marty Myers, Brenda, Megan Walker, Karen, Emma Bartholomew, Dan McDade, Bob Harford, Carol Burrill, Miranda Nelson, Nancy Barnett, Kevin Long, Gary R. Hook, Linda McNeil, Kelly Garrod, and Annie Larkowski. Thank you so much for your incredible, the kind, generous donation. That's why you are a Celtic legend, because your generosity is overwhelming. Thank you so much. Here's your 3-step plan to support the podcast. Number 1, go to our Patreon page. Number 2, decide how much you want to pledge per week. You can do $1, $5, $10. You can even do $25 like our Celtic legends do, and make sure you cap how much you want to spend per month. They might just be pledging $25. They might be pledging $1,000 per month. But it's all at the Celtic Legends level, and they're capping it. Okay, it's not $1,000, but I'm still waiting for that pledge. So make sure you, if you want to be the first person to do that, I would love it. And number 3, keep listening to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast to celebrate Celtic culture through music. You can become a generous patron of the podcast on Patreon at songhinge.com. The Crossjacks are up next with Sky Boat Song. It's from their album, The Crossjacks.
Like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry. Carry the lad who's born to be king over the sea to sky. Loud the winds howl, loud the waves roar, thunderclaps fill the air. Baffled our foes, stand on the shore, follow they will not dare. Speed bonny boat like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry. Carry the lad who's born to be king over the sea to sky. Though the waves leap, soft shall ye sleep, ocean's a royal bed. Rocked in the deep, Flora will keep watch by your weary head. Speed bonny boat like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry. Carry the lad who's born to be king to sky. Many's the lad fought on that day, well the claymore could we. When the night came, silently lay dead on Culloden's field. Speed bonny boat like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry.
the bird on the wing, onward the sailors cry. Carry the lad who's born to be king over the sea to sky.
this letter to tell of my grief and pain. And as I lie in prison, how I long to see you again. And you, my beloved mother, and all my comrades dear, I will write these words in my own blood, for no pen nor ink be near. Friends in arms, my children, please weep for me and pray. Though I fought to keep our country so that we may always be free. And when you receive this letter, please weep for me and pray. That I might die with bravery all alone that fateful day.
Daniele Scardovi sent me a couple singles. This is Against the Tide. Daniele is out of Italy. I love getting the international artists, so if you are one of those or you know someone, drop them a line. After Daniele Scardovi came Pochin Band, not to be confused with Pochin at the start of the show. That's the Pochin at the start was from the Czech Republic. Pochin Band is out of Fargo, North Dakota. That was Road to Batoche from Banks of Red River. And we finish up the set with Xavier Bordereau with Gavotte Poulet from Liam. Hey, if you enjoyed the music in this show, make sure you vote for your favorite track in the Celtic Top 20 for 2023. This is our way of finding the best songs and artists for the year. You can vote for as many songs and tunes that inspire you in each episode. Your vote helps me create next year's Best Celtic Music of 2023 episode. So go cast your vote today. You can also find a Spotify and YouTube playlist with many of these top tracks. So go check it out. We're going to finish up with the Tannehill Weavers, Grat Fur Gruel from Live and In Session. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I look forward to coming back again next week to share even more music from Celtic musicians around the globe and also performing at Irish Fest Atlanta. Take care. Sláinte.
There was a weaver in the north and low, but he was cruel. Oh, the very first lick to me was when he sat me grat for gruel. He sat me grat for gruel, oh, he couldn't want his gruel. Oh, the very first lick when he was when he sat me grat for gruel. There's nae a spin in all the goose for to sup your gruel. Oh, the girl's bed will play with me, for I'm in hay my gruel. For I'm in hay my gruel, oh, can he want my gruel. Oh, the girl's bed will play with me, for I'm in hay my gruel. Up your gruel, oh, the horse is troubled day with me, for I'm in hay my gruel, for I'm in hay my gruel, oh, can he want my gruel, oh, the horse is troubled day with me, for I'm in hay my gruel. She get bend a hoose for wine and cake and drocht them ben in a stool. Oh, go walk up over your father rolls, for I'm in hay my gruel, for I'm in hay my gruel, oh, can he want my gruel. Oh, go walk up over your father rolls, for I'm in hay my gruel. Come on, young lassies, and listen to me, you'll never marry a wee. The very first night when he was wed, he sat me grat for gruel. He sat me grat for gruel, oh, he couldn't want his gruel. Oh, the very first night when he was wed, he sat me grat for gruel. He sat me grat for gruel, oh, he couldn't want his gruel. Oh, the very first night when he was wed, he sat me grat for gruel. We'll be right back.
The Irish and Celtic Music Podcast is produced by Mark Dunn, the Celt Father, and our patrons on Patreon. The show is edited by Mitchell Peterson with graphics by Miranda Nelson Designs. Visit our website to subscribe to the show. You can find links to all of the artists played in this episode. Todd Wiley is the editor of the Celtic Music Magazine. Subscribe to get 34 Celtic MP3s for free, plus you'll get 7 weekly news items about what's happening with Celtic music and culture online. Best of all, you will connect with your Celtic heritage. Please tell one friend about this podcast. Word of mouth is the absolute best way to support any creative endeavor. And finally, remember to reduce, reuse, recycle, and think about how you can make a positive impact on your environment. Promote Celtic culture through music at CelticMusicPodcast.com.